every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRCGA.
Any of them A's.
Any of them their A's.
Or any of the Anons.
We don't speak for none of them there, guys.
We barely speak for ourselves.
We only speak for ourselves and not that well. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce
Buck.
B, followed always with
Shelley
and Mark.
I got stuck in the south there for me. I'm like that show. What's it? Just Swamp Guys.
Yeah, why don't you come back from around the bend, okay?
It's Swamp Guys. Have you ever seen that thing?
Thing?
It's a thing. Swamp people or something. It's like,
listen to little Hank.
Dude, those guys are. You know what's weird? You know him. I got a guy that works for me, Michael. Young Hispanic guy. 20 something years old, Hispanic guy, 29. Is a huge country fan, but not just any country. It's got to be old school. Like
Hank.
Like Hank. Like
Conway.
Yeah, like I'm sure he would listen to guys at Yodel too. I mean, it's just like He's got a big tattoo that says Ramblin' Man on him. And I'm like, really? And then his friend Chunks, which I love the name Chunks.
That's not his real name.
I know his name's Jesus. But,
right.
But I love the name Chunks because Mike and Chunks used to drink together.
Oh.
I'd be like, blow Chunks?
Do you like his blow Chunks?
And for some reason, and I don't know why this is.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
I don't know why this is.
Well,
but in my phone, I have him in there as Chunk Sauce Luigi. I don't know why. It just made sense at the time.
Okay. That's great, Bruce.
That's in aid of what?
We don't know, Bruce.
Well, because if I ask you what you've been doing, you'll say nothing.
No, that's not true.
So, Shelly, what have you been doing? How's your week been?
Okay.
There you go.
I don't know. I went to work. I went to church. I went to work on Tuesday and Wednesday, but then the city shuts down for 5 days at Thanksgiving, so.
You know what's funny about
Shelly? I've had a little staycation here.
I'll say, Shelly, what have you done? And she'll be like, nothing. Now, if you don't know, a lot of people know Shelly from Facebook. There is nary a day goes past that Shelly doesn't have an epic post about all the wild stuff going on and all the crazy stuff going on. Then we get to the show, I go, what's going on? Nothing. I mean, nothing.
Well, today's post is a little bit too involved to describe, so I won't. But, I mean, you know, I've had 5 days off. Well, I'm on day four. I have one
that
more
means
off.
That means she's had 5 million hours of fish world.
No, that's not true. I did the laundry.
five days I did the laundry and played fish world.
And I cleaned the kitchen. And
clean all your tanks?
You don't have to clean your tanks. I get little algae eaters for them.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, and I played Fish World. I'm sure I did something else.
I got to tell you what. Yes. Freaking Candy Crush.
Oh, I cleaned out the fridge.
Is the bane of my existence right now.
Yes, it is.
Candy Crush is one of these games that's intended to try and make you buy things. And I refuse to buy things to win the game. And it's taking me significantly longer to get through the game. Because I'm not going to buy anything. So I'll spend like 37 tries on one level. Pissing me off. I should just stop playing it.
Oh.
But you may not know this, but I have an addictive personality.
Really? Wow.
A little bit.
I'm not addicted if I just play one on TV.
Yeah, I just play one. I just play one on Celebrity Rehab. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. Oh, that was tight. That was tight. Shelly didn't even get a chance to sit in the chair.
What was that little sideways maneuver you just made there? You did a little cha-cha step.
Because you always bitch at me for stepping on your cord, so I did the cha-cha move so I didn't step on it.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you can be taught.
It was a sachet.
Oh, man. Yeah, so much for that. I'm stomping on the cord next time.
Okay, let's see. Where
just try and get over to the chair and see what happens.
you're hip-checked into the freaking green screen.
I am.
People don't realize that.
I'm going to go head first
into the green
screen.
We have a green screen in the studio. Never used it once.
We're on radio.
I know, but there was a brief time when we thought about filming the show. Because a lot of people do that. Actually, I've noticed. I don't get it. I mean, I've gone and seen some links to some shows that are actually like radio shows and stuff. Their show is no better than ours, and it's like on regular radio.
They suck just as bad as we do?
Pretty much.
Worse.
Oh, okay. We don't suck as much. Recovery 101, we don't suck as bad.
No, Recovery 101, we suck less. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
We should do that. That'd be a great pick.
Unless we have Mike and Chunks here.
Nice.
Yeah, Mike listens to this show, so I'm going to hear about this.
Yes, we're all going to hear about this. Ad nauseum. Thank you so much, Bruce.
I'm not convinced, Mike. You know, our closest friends only. I know a
Shout
couple
out to
that
Terry.
Do. Terry, Mark. Yeah, the Peanut Gallery, Mark. That's of the people that I know.
What's amazing is he's here to listen to us record it, and then he listens to it.
Oh, yeah, and Randy.
On. Isn't that weird?
And Randy.
I think so.
Oh, Randy listens?
You can tell because Randy leaves comments sometimes that are getting stranger and stranger. I think the last comment I saw from Randy was, love you, Randy, was, be careful of the flying monkeys. And I'm like, wow, that's
unique.
A good one.
Randy?
I'm not
Randy,
sure that, you know what's funny? I'm not positive.
One every 6 hours is the prescription.
I'm not sure that he positively knows whether he listens to the show or not.
He does.
He needs. That's right. Randy, in case you're listening,
we love you.
I think
Randy.
It's time for a med adjustment. I'm just throwing that out there because I love you. Don't kill me. Don't kill me.
Yeah, let me adjust my meds.
Okay. Anyway, are we on the news or not?
Yeah. Are we waiting on you?
No, we're waiting on you.
Okay.
Cannibal.
Yes, I'm epic eye roll there. The next story was from Donald. Shout out to Donald.
Donald B.
He sent us another study. This one actually I find interesting.
Is this one that women look at huge bulges in men's pants?
No.
No.
That's called your billfold.
This was scientists in Britain have done this. The group is called the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA.
Oh.
A division of Samsung.
They discovered a gene mutation that regulates alcohol consumption in mice. They're hoping to extrapolate
How much alcohol can a mouse really consume?
Well, they're hoping to extrapolate this research out and apply it to humans because this gene mutation that they have found, because mice share a lot of our genes.
I mean, if a mouse drinks a shot, it's pretty much on its ass.
Mouse could never fit in my genes.
So
the mouse
true.
Your genes, you just enjoy the show.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the show, baby. It's a frozen mouse.
Mice with this genetic mutation that they found,
I see the tail.
Consistently 85% of the time chose to drink alcohol over water.
Wow.
Yes.
Mice are getting smarter.
Wow.
And they, within the time period that they would allow the mouse access to alcohol, they became so drunk within that brief time that they were uncoordinated and could no longer move about.
Well, no shit. Was that part of the study? Let's see if the mice drink if they become uncoordinated. Look, but he can't get through the maze.
Yeah.
Okay, but the interesting part of the study was that...
He's slurring his squeak.
The mice without the genetic mutation have no interest in alcohol whatsoever. Never drank it. They avoided it. They did.
And
not.
What did this prove, Shelley?
That if... I don't know.
Okay. Well, good. And how much did we spend to not prove this?
We didn't spend anything. The study was done in...
Science may one day accomplish this, but don't bet on it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but if they can take that genetic mutation, if they can repair that mutation in mice, maybe they can repair it in humans. That's the whole point, is that they're trying to apply
this
to humans.
So if they fix that, I could drink again?
Will it be a med?
I don't know. It doesn't... They're
can
not
you
that
take
far
two
long.
Of them?
It was just a study. They haven't done anything yet. Jeez.
Then why do we spend the money?
We didn't spend the money. Britain did.
Oh.
Katie did.
Katie Huck.
Katie Huck. She funded the study.
Her stripper money's going to study mice.
Yes, Katie's spending her pole dancing money on it.
Katie.
Cha-ching.
Okay, we have a study.
I'm still waiting for the video, Katie.
We have a story from Deborah. Our friend Deborah sent one in.
Is Deborah new to sending stuff in?
No, she's sent stuff in before.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm suffering from CRS. Can't remember shit.
Yeah.
The story is about a guy named Gregory Fulland, who is he's been accused of tax evasion. When he went to court, he was going in for his arraignment.
Uh-huh.
And his lawyer... actually, his representative states that most people that go up on charges of tax evasion and use specific arguments, they actually do have a good argument. The problem is that they present it poorly. So this guy gets his argument together. He goes to his lawyer. His lawyer said, yeah, we can try that. That sounds reasonable, blah, blah, blah. He immediately screws his pitch up because when the judge asked him to confirm his name, he refused. Then the judge tried to confirm his identity. He showed Mr. Fulland his own DMV picture and asked him, is that your picture?
That's not me.
Fulland responded, is it in your hands? Then that would make it yours. Because
wow.
He was holding up a picture.
What an idiot.
Then the judge asked him, were you given the name Gregory Fulland by your parents when you were born? To which he responded, I don't know. I was a baby. Then.
Is he going to jail?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was hoping. Now, Fulland, the judge was hoping that Fulland would reply if he asked him about middle school. Did your parents call you this when you were in middle school? And he replied, finally, that he was not going to claim a name. So the judge said, what? I don't know. It doesn't say really in the story that he didn't. Yeah, basically the judge said, okay, I've had enough, held him in contempt.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, you've got 22 priors. I do not. Prove it.
Held him in contempt, and the problem now is that this is the same judge that is going to hear his tax evasion case and is already pissed off.
Yes.
This is not a good way to start.
Not at all.
Do not piss off the judge.
Yeah. I just thought that was fun. I don't know. I was a baby.
It's a good one-liner, though.
Yes.
The name they gave you when you were a baby? I
don't know.
Okay, I do have... We got an email from someone on the Recovery 101 radio thing from Peter P. Peter, who would be a new contributor or newish contributor. I think he may have sent something before, but I can't swear to it.
Okay.
But I'm just letting Peter know here, the Peter P. PSA. I could not access the story that you sent, Peter, because it required me to log into Facebook from a non-Facebook page. Yeah. I won't do that because sometimes that's a good way to get viruses, not knowing where the link went to. So if you have a story for me, we would love to do it on the air. Just, copy and paste it or send me a link to a regular news site or something like that.
And
thank you very much.
Name?
Peter P.
Peter, is that the name your parents gave you when you were a baby?
He doesn't know he was asleep.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That was good.
Oh, now here's something that
I may not have had my mic on.
Oh.
I don't know how it would have gotten off.
Somehow the show gets better when you don't have your mic on.
I that could be really bad. I don't know how it would have gotten off.
How'd you get off?
But I just clicked it on. So
do we forge ahead or do we start over?
How'd you get off?
No, you might as well forge ahead.
How'd you get off? Were you playing with it?
I was. Apparently I was. I must have been.
Oh, brother. Okay, anyway, this story, next story came from Bill, and this is something I don't understand. He sent in a story about a guy from Britain who threw away a hard drive that had more than $9 million worth of Bitcoin on it. I don't know what Bitcoin is. I don't get it. It's apparently it's called cryptocurrency, and one Bitcoin is now worth $1,200. And like they
had how much?
He had $9 million worth of Bitcoin.
Oh, I thought he had 9 million Bitcoins. I was like, wow.
So I don't understand what Bitcoin is. Do you guys know what Bitcoin is?
It's probably
no.
Probably buy hacker stuff with it or something.
Well, no, you can actually buy other things with it. Like Subway takes Bitcoins. Yeah, other places take Bitcoin now. And it's just cyber currency. It doesn't actually exist, but I don't exactly know how you get it.
Never. I don't know. Some high tech crap. High techish.
Better yet, how do you get rid of it?
Well,
just throw it away, obviously.
Yeah, it's on you. It's on your computer. You like Bill was saying that he bought one Bitcoin once years ago for like $20 back when it was cheap.
Uh-huh.
And then that computer crashed and he lost his Bitcoin.
Oh.
So it's you have to have like it saved and backed up and whatever. And the guy accidentally threw away that hard drive and now it's
$9 million worth.
Yeah, of Bitcoin, which is now worth something because some retail establishments are taking Bitcoin. Which is very weird. I don't get it.
Dude, this is the time to start repairing computers.
Salvage.
You know, that hard drive's no good anymore. Don't worry. We'll dispose of it for you.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Don't worry. It's only got 16 Bitcoin on it.
But the poor guy.
$60,000.
The authorities said that he could go and shovel through the landfill if he wanted to, but he was unlikely to find it.
Some homeless guy is going to come up on 9 million bitcoins.
Yeah, really. There was one more. Where was it? I don't remember.
He should have gotten traveler's bitcoins. That way he could have just gotten them reimbursed to him.
Don't leave home without them.
That's right.
Well, this is the one is bizarre.
Okay.
This last one is Ocean City. It's back east somewhere, and I forget where. Oh, Maryland. Maryland. Oh. Volunteers were about to open the Thanksgiving food bank. The doors were opening. The volunteer was standing in the door when a man ran inside, engulfed in flames.
He's helping to cook the food.
He hugged one of the volunteers who burst into flames.
What?
The food bank, which is right next to the rectory where the pastor lives, caught on fire and burst into flames. There's a lot of bursting.
Didn't anybody throw this guy on the ground?
I think there was a lot of running amok and screaming and things, and somebody did call 911. The pastor, running out of the rectory to find out what the heck was going on.
Burst into flames?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, no.
Saw what was going on, ran back into the rectory to retrieve the church records.
And came out in flames?
And then the rectory caught on fire.
Burst into flames?
Pretty much. And then the pastor died.
What?
Yeah.
There's got to be more to this.
So the volunteer that caught on fire was taken to the hospital. She's in critical condition. The pastor died.
The guy that ran in on fire.
How's he doing?
Was his name Beelzebub?
No.
I'm just asking because that's very strange.
The man was actually identified as John Raymond Sterner. He's 56 years
Sterno.
Old.
Sterno. John Raymond Sterno.
John Sterner.
Sterno. No,
Sterner, not Sterno. This is very sad.
Fire and brimstone.
Oh, is this a sad story? Because we're having way too good a time with this one.
Fire and brimstone.
Yeah. But no one knows.
Why he was on fire?
Why he ran into the food bank. No one knew him there.
He was sterno.
Yeah, but how far away? I mean, I'm just trying to think of how this, because you're at line at the food bank.
Look, there's a guy on fire running this way.
Where does this guy come from already on fire?
Exactly. And everyone says that they were very surprised.
10 yards away, 20 yards away? He's lucky he's alive by the time he gets to the door.
And that's the thing in the story is, like, everyone was so surprised.
Whatever happened to stop, drop, and roll?
Yeah, what? I don't.
It's hard to put sterno out.
Yeah, true.
Shelly's banging her head on the microphone.
Why? Why, God? Why? The sterno did have an arrest record for misdemeanor assault, alcohol violations, and
arson.
Possession.
An arson.
An arson.
He spilled a flaming. I get it now. He had alcohol problems before too. He spilled a flaming straight shot down himself.
Yeah.
I suppose it's possible. I don't know.
151 and a cotton ball.
Okay. Where was the story that I wanted?
Oh, that wasn't the story you wanted?
No. Oh! I found it. This is it.
Okay.
This is the amends story of the week. Michael Goodman, 53 years old, when he was a teenager, he was standing with his friends and trying to prove what a badass he was. They were in front of the American Museum of Natural History. This has happened 35 years ago. He held up a bystander, Claude Sofel, and stole his bus pass. This was in the 70s. I'm not sure how stealing a bus pass makes you a badass, but I guess in the 70s that was what
badassery was.
Badassery, yes. But, however, he has carried that incident around in his brain his whole life. It has been weighed heavy on his heart his whole life. Amazingly enough,
Wayne doesn't remember it, does he?
Claude Sofel. So 35 years go by. Michael Goodman is puttering around on Facebook and sees a post about a bagel store called H&H, which is a place he really liked. And one of the people involved in the thread was a man named Claude Sofel. And he remembered, he saw the guy's picture and said, "That's the guy I held up for his bus pass in the 70s. And immediately, in the thread, made amends to the guy.
Claude's like, "Who the F are you?"
No, he did remember it after Michael gave some details.
And Claude said, "You're going to jail."
And Claude said, "Well, obviously you are not the man now that you were then. And I accept your apology, and now we can put the past where it belongs behind us and move on from
and
here.
Get off my damn thread."
But I just thought that was very interesting.
Okay.
I guess no one else did. And that is finally the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Mark and Shelley Show. We don't know how long my mic was off.
It could have been off since the last show.
That'd be awesome. No introduction, no nothing.
We can only hope.
Yeah, we can only hope for that.
I once posted that, you know, that I live in Hope. I was talking about something that I was upset about, and I said, I live in Hope. And then I said, well, actually, no, I live in Covina, but I commute to Hope.
Oh.
So, Shelley, we have a topic.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Each group should remain autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or...
A as a whole, whatever A as a whole.
Insert your fellowship here as a whole.
As a whole, yes.
As a whole.
As a whole. Fourth tradition.
Okay. Sweet. So what do you think about that, Shell?
I think it's a fine way to diversify power and to prevent one area or one group or one person from becoming too important. Because the minute anybody becomes important, we're all in trouble.
Was Bill W. important?
Not really.
Without him, we don't have any program.
There would have been somebody else.
There was. Dr. Bob.
If we
Bill got him.
If we believe that the program was inspired by a higher power, he would have found a mouthpiece. It just happened to be Bill W. and Dr. Bob that got the ball rolling. But they took a lot of their stuff from the Oxford group, so...
Thank God it wasn't me.
Why?
Because you guys would still be loaded. Because I wouldn't have been so inspired.
Because 80 years from now, people would be coming to this house to see where you came from.
No, I would have gone down to the bar at the hotel. Ooh, where the gay chatter was coming from. Yeah. So tradition four, Mark. What do you think?
You know, it's tough to do traditions sometimes because not a whole lot of opinion about them. I just kind of followed them for being what they are, which is. You know, we don't, groups don't have to go, every group has its own group conscience for a reason.
Right.
So that we aren't, although, like I've said before, you can pattern a group conscience in such a way.
Yeah.
To manipulate the shit out of the group.
Yeah, you could pass anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can pass anything provided you cage it correctly.
No, not always, as we saw 2 weeks ago.
What'd you try to pass? What'd I miss?
Oh, yeah. It went. Did it go from an hour meeting back to an hour and a half meeting, and all the people at time were overthrown by the people from the recovery home.
Who only wanted to stay?
Group
at an
conscience.
Hour.
Who thinks that? And like all the old timers raise their hand, go back to an hour and a half. Who doesn't like that? Like every newcomer in the place raises
their
hand.
No, let's keep it at an hour. And I looked at Mark. I said, wait till Thanksgiving night when it's just you and Bruce and I, and we can pass it.
See, that's the problem.
And we didn't vote on it again.
What? Yeah, you have to know your audience. You have to pick the right time and the right moment, and you have to craft your group conscience in such a way so people really aren't sure what they're voting for.
Well, it doesn't affect other groups or the fellowship as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but talking privately with a few key members in the group, like some of the old time, before you do the group conscience is a good idea.
Oh, look, Shelley's learning quick. Shelly's learning quick.
Okay. I'd like to take a group conscience. All in favor of going back to the old traditional format that worked so well at this meeting for years, say aye.
Yeah, without even saying anything about time or anything.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, oh, you mean the book study? No.
No.
The one before that.
Yeah. Yeah. The original.
Actually, that would have been a better way to put it. No mention of the amount of time.
All you have to
do
is,
passed for
if
sure.
you craft it properly, you can pass anything in this group.
Tell me how you would craft the one for smoking pot is okay.
Even though, who is a CA member says, we are not a drug-specific program, all the other programs are, to some extent, drug-specific, and we are here because this is a CA meeting. Therefore, I'd like to pass a group conscience saying that anybody who does not use cocaine is considered to be clean in this group. All in favor?
No, but
dope smokers are like,
But then that runs afoul of the affect other groups or CA as a whole. That does affect CA as a whole because you've just changed in one group the CA and all other mind-altering substances.
Uh-huh.
You can't do that because that's World Services literature.
Why not?
You can't do that at the group level. That affects CA as a whole.
Here we go.
Oh, no. Oh, here we go. 10 sneezes in a row. Why don't you turn your mic off now?
But anything can start with one. Everything has to start with one group.
Yeah, but for a change that big, you'd have to take it to World Services, and I doubt you'd get that passed. Did you turn your mic off?
No, he just dropped it.
Oh, no, he just whacked himself in the nards with his mic.
Cut that mouse tail.
I don't know what it is about that. About
well, first of all,
you're
just,
month,
I just watched you turn around and blow on your desk, so you blew dust all up into the air. Here we go.
Here comes another
Here we
sneeze.
Go. And...
Okay, did you turn your mic
No,
on?
He didn't. He's sneezing into the microphone.
I'm just letting people get the full effect.
Oh, my gosh, that's disgusting.
He I'm the only one that uses this mic.
I have to put it away.
Oh, well.
Gross.
Yeah, but so you kiss me.
Not tonight.
Oh, thanks. See, more this night's going quick.
At any rate, what were we talking about? Oh, autonomy. Autonomy. I had something. I was going somewhere else with that, but then he sneezed.
Bless you.
Are you continuing to sneeze into the mic?
Yes, he is.
I did not. I pulled the mic away from my face.
I'll bet he didn't.
The show's gone so sideways.
So, Shelly, continue with where you were on.
Yeah, where were you, Shelly?
Traditionally.
Oh.
You were about to make a point.
I was about to make a point, and then the elephant sneezed.
About autonomy and whatever A is a whole.
Well, when you're when you are talking about making a change that is that significant, you'd have to put it before World Services for that particular fellowship. You can't just wander off on your own.
Well, first thing the first thing you do is you go to 10 meetings, and you craft your group conscience so you get it to pass at all 10 meetings. Now you have 10 meetings that are going under that format. So now you go to
Central. Now you go to area.
Go to the area, and in the area you say. 10 groups have adopted this. We know we have 10 votes for it already here. And we've only got 17 GSRs here. So now we need to take a vote on the area level. So you pass
10 to 7.
You pass it on an area level 10 to 7. Now you have an area.
But only one area.
But it's all you need. And then once you have it, you convince people this is a good idea. It's like Mark Twain in Painting the Fence. You convince people what a good time this is.
Yes, and get other people to do
your
work for you.
Other people to do your work for you.
So wait, are we supposed to be talking about the fourth tradition or Mark's method for
overthrowing Cocaine Anonymous?
Look, here's the thing. We did a show. We did a show on the third tradition.
Anarchy!
And it was just, it dragged through the mud. So I just thought we'd make this one a little more fun.
Liven this one up. Well, interestingly enough, though, there was a situation, probably is an ongoing situation, I'm not sure. I'd have to contact AA World Services to find out. A few years ago, they circulated a bulletin on fact. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. They circulated a paper that at World Services they had found out that many of the groups were doing announcements at the end of the meeting.
Non-AA-related
first announcements, and then non-AA-related announcements.
Yeah.
And World Services put their little pea brains together and said, no, we are not going to allow that. You cannot do that in your group. And I have yet to be in any meeting, and this was announced in a meeting, and the meeting it was announced in still does non-AA-related announcements. So... Are we?
Yeah, but you got to remember. I would be the devil's advocate here and say, I've only heard that in two meetings. I don't ever hear it in any other meetings besides those two. If I go and speak somewhere or something, I've never heard another meeting say non-AA related announcements. The only ones I've heard of is the Tuesday night meeting and the Thursday night meeting.
I could come to the Thursday night meeting on a night that there's almost all newcomers in there. And I could get it past it's okay to drink champagne on New Year's.
I have not had Mark at the at the Friday night speaker meeting or at the Friday night book study.
Uh-huh.
Do they say non-CA related announcements?
No, they ask are there any announcements of other meetings.
purportedly CA meetings, though, right?
Yeah. You know what?
I've only heard
a structure to the Friday night meeting, so my guess is you could announce whatever you want. It gets a little too far, though, when we ask for...
I need $20.
We asked for non-CA... I remember we asked for non-CA-related announcements one night at the Thursday meeting, and a guy announced that he wanted to go to the movies.
Yeah.
And he was his way to pay for somebody to go with him because he didn't want to go by himself.
Right.
Yeah. That was awesome.
It was definitely non-CA-related.
Yeah.
But...
I mean... So, you know...
Well,
you got to be careful with that because that can go anywhere.
Well, and you know what? It's funny because Shelley goes, well, we've kind of gone off on this tangent, but in a way, not really.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about whether a group is autonomous or not, I mean, groups can do all kinds of – what about – oh, my God. Who are those guys back east? Do you remember the – oh, my God.
What was the name of that group?
Midtown Group. And
oh,
these guys had kind of sort of – bastardized. It was AA supposedly, but they were talking about, there was things like, a matter of fact, a good friend of the show was on the show years ago. His name's Jeff. He runs a site on Facebook called Punk Friends in Recovery, and he turned us on to this. They were saying that these new girls should sleep with the old timers, and I mean,
as part of the recovery.
Mark's I don't see anything wrong with that.
Manson Anonymous.
It was, yeah, some of the stuff that there was.
He's getting married.
Several.
Yeah, I know he is.
Manson.
To a 25-year-old.
There were several, not just, I can't, when I Googled the Midtown Group,
yeah.
The number of articles revealing their abuses.
Was substantial.
Just the page, all the way down the page, just so many people had done exposés of this group that they've done all this stuff. It's like, they turned AA, you know, everybody says that, well, AA is just a cult. They did literally turn AA into a cult in that group.
Yeah, like they didn't want people hanging out with people outside of the group.
They did it under the banner of autonomy.
Yeah, but that's not a long stretch to get there.
No, but I mean, the things that they were doing, they did this all under the cover of the fourth tradition. We're an autonomous group.
They are an autonomous group.
But they weren't doing anything that was approved by AA World Services.
They're but trusted service. We'll get there later. They do not govern.
You're just going to be an apologist. Well, they got governed. The world, are you?
They ended up getting governed.
They got governed right out of existence.
Yeah, but that was an example of autonomy gone over the top.
Yeah,
it like along Mike Mark's example of how you could get it to pass. You know, for it be okay to smoke weed, because you know what? That's, you got to imagine that they did something along those lines.
I mean, I'm thinking at some point, like if you're going to a CA meeting in Colorado next year, where A, marijuana will be legal.
Yeah, but alcohol is legal.
B, well, if you come to California, if you have a prescription for it and you take it as directed, aren't you following a doctor's direction, which is what we're told to do? Because if you take Vicodin,
some quack doctor, probably.
If you take Vicodin, you've technically broken your sobriety. However, if you've taken Vicodin the way the prescription says to and under a doctor's care,
you haven't.
Then you haven't. So if you smoke marijuana or eat marijuana substances under a prescription from a doctor, and you do it as prescribed, what's wrong with that?
Because it's now possible in some areas, and I think LA is one of them, to get cannabinoid products that don't make you high. However, you can't get a different form of Vicodin, which doesn't, when used as prescribed, does not generally make people high.
What?
I'll tell you, interesting thing about painkillers. If you have pain and you take a painkiller, it helps you manage the pain. But I don't ever recall feeling loaded when I was killing actual pain. When you feel loaded is when you have absolutely no pain and you take like 5 Vicodins, and imagine that. You get loaded. Now, my recovery, I have not taken a painkiller at all.
I'm laying in the
even
hospital.
Even after 3 different surgeries.
I'm laying in the hospital, and they put me on morphine.
You're in the hospital.
And you bet I felt high.
You're under a doctor's care in the hospital. It's a little different than hanging out in your garage.
Semantics.
Semantics. Well, we're
we got a little.
We tried to make
afield.
This a little more enjoyable than the last tradition show,
which meant that we completely went off topic.
We're up against the wall on time. Okay. So, Shelley,
yes,
be autonomous, sir. What are your final words?
Well, I don't know that I have any final words on the tradition per se. However, I would like to point out to all of the people I have ever heard mess this up. The word is autonomous, meaning standalone, not anonymous, meaning invisible, which is what some people think anonymous means. I have heard that messed up in many, many meetings. So I'm just saying it's autonomous. We stand alone.
Autonomous.
Except for when we don't.
We're autonomous. We stand alone, except when we don't. Awesome final words there. Mark, final words on Tradition 4.
Don't mess with my program.
What was it?
Don't mess with my program.
Okay.
I have a fellowship I enjoy. Don't mess with it. Don't mess it up. Or take your best shot. I don't think anybody's got enough power to mess it up. So
there you go.
Because if there was enough power available to mess it up, I would have done it by now.
That's true. And you gave it your best shot on Thursday.
My final words are...
Did we all survive through it?
Yes, and we read the book like 4 times.
See? A book we never would have read otherwise.
That's true.
My final words are that Tradition 4, just like all the traditions, follow them the way they're written, and that will keep the program okay.
Yeah.
Mark.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
Maybe Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can just find publication online. You can get it via the email, or you can get it sent through the Postal Service in hard copy form if you would like. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce, and he will send you all the information you need. He'll actually send you hard copies to strew about the facility. And if you're interested in a franchise.
Franchise!
Then you can contact Bruce to give you all the information you need to bring the 12 Step Gazette to your little corner of the world, as we have had someone do around here.
Sweet. Shelley.
Dude.
Someone's listening to the show.
Someone is?
Anyway that you listen to the show, we appreciate. But if you could go to our site, which is recovery101.net, and click on one of the shows, click like or permalink if you are a member of Podomatic. Thank you. You've been counted. It helps us with our numbers. If you're not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can leave topics, suggestions on the shows. Leave them on the top show so that Bruce sees them easily. You can like old shows. You can listen to there are tons of shows up there for your listening enjoyment.
Yeah, like 560.
Yes. You can follow us. That will get you automatic updates of when we post the shows.
It will.
So that you will never miss a scintillating episode like this one.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to miss an episode.
You certainly wouldn't have wanted to miss this one.
We had an episode.
This episode should have been anonymous, meaning invisible. and you can also put us on your playlists for all of your hot party needs.
Holiday party needs.
Holiday. Well,
let's celebrate. Wow. I think we should have something sometime where we'll pick some songs that were like big hits in the past and see if we... Which one we vote off the island? Like, which one stays and which one doesn't stay? We're gonna
not getting it.
No. Well, like, let's say
Bruce,
that,
all your favorite Milli Vanilli songs will be gone.
No. Let's say you. Well, no, exactly. I mean, you pick songs, and like you say, how about a song like "Kung Fu Fighting"?
Everybody was kung fu.
Huge hit at the time. Huge hit. Giant hit. But then you put up other songs like, you say, Supertramp, the logical song, or Breakfast in America. And then you bring up another song like Iron Maiden, Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter, which was a hit then. You guys are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about.
You might want to give this more thought before you put it on the air.
I'm trying to figure out where we're going with this.
Yeah. Bruce, what if people...
edit.
Bruce,
Peter Gary's like,
people,
edit that
what
out.
If people are on Facebook?
If they are, More power to him. Actually, if you go to recovery101.net, you can actually sign in now with Facebook. Makes it very, very easy. But if you'd like to join our fan page, we would appreciate that. We are like right around 5,000 people right now. That is Recovery 101 radio show. If you'd like to be a little more anonymous, not autonomous, but anonymous, meaning, as Shelley said, invisible.
That's not what anonymous means,
that's what
I heard somebody in a meeting say it meant.
All right. And you don't really want recovery stuff splashed all over for everyone to see. You can join the Recovery 101 group, which is a closed group. If you ask to be a member, we will let you. You can interact with all the people you hear on the most of the people you hear on the show, and the people that send in boozy news and stuff like that. If you'd like, you can email us at recovery101radio@gmail.com. That's where we want you to send boozy news and topic suggestions. If you would like to advertise with us and you want to send us money or something like that, then that's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We do not, Shelley. Who would be the lead out music this time? You're looking at me, you're mouthing.
Because you gave me the band for last time, so I'm wondering if you had a suggestion for this time.
Looking for Trouble.
Okie dokie.
That's because and you know what? It'll be over by the time the show goes up. But April Snow, the singer for Looking for Trouble, looks like she's in first place to win the grand finale for singers on Indie.com. Pretty spiffy. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
And I promise to tell you no lie. I got a secret obsession, a pleasure that satisfies. It's got curves in all the right places, a V8 and 4 on the floor. It takes me to faraway places. Well, I'm wild about my Thunderbird 4. I'll take a ride in a Chevy or Dodge. But honey, don't be absurd. You know the only car you're parking in my garage is a slick red Thunderbird. Slide in right beside me, and I promise to make you a man. You won't oblige me, I'll find somebody who can. Don't ask me how it handles, don't ask how fast it drives. I'm not that good with the details, but my Tiber makes me feel so alive. I'll take a ride in your Chevy or Dodge, but honey, don't be absurd. The only car that's parking in my garage is a slick red Thunderbird. Don't ask me how it handles, I said don't ask how fast it drives. Be absurd. The only car you're parking.